Chapter 10. Those were easily a few of the worst words that one could ever hear, and my stomach plummeted as I considered every sort of issue that could have arisen. It could have been anything from a technical difficulty to a discrepancy with the rival clan, and I braced myself for whatever was to come. Then I quickly unbuckled my harness and sped across the cabin until I reached the cockpit. "What's wrong, Aaron?" I demanded once I breached the doorway. The orange-haired mimic was clearly startled by my hastened entrance, so I forced myself to take a breath and repeat myself in a softer tone. "Is something wrong with the ship?"
"Nothing's wrong with the ship," Aaron assured me. "We just have a bit of an issue I didn't even think of until now. I don't know where to land. The mountain terrain isn't exactly suited to handle an airship of this size, and I don't want to risk crashing or damaging the ship."
"Maker, I'd completely forgotten about the cliffs," I sighed. And now that I wasn't confined to my seat in the cabin, I had a full-on view of the island in front of us. Erie Island, much like a few of the islands in the surrounding area, had an unusual terrain that consisted of what appeared to be a single mountain peak that rose hundreds of feet into the sky, with trees growing in random clumps up the steep slope. Hawk Clan made their home on the inside of the hollowed mountain, and the only access point was in a small opening in one of the jagged cliffs below. The shapeshifters entered this point by boat, so there was no possible way Aaron could fit her airship through that opening. I paused to think about how to proceed. When Arwen and her crew had found me the last time on Erie Island, their government-issued aircraft had been forced to park on a nearby island, since it wasn't suited for an ocean landing. If it had only been Aaron, Syra, Freya, and I on board, I could have easily done the same thing, and then arranged for one of my water-based monsters to bring us over to the entrance. But we had the babies to worry about, and I wasn't about to risk the safety of my children. We needed a place for the ship to safely land that didn't involve us having to scale down the steep cliffs, or park in a territory we weren't sure was safe.
"I never thought to ask about a landing place," Aaron admitted. "Which is definitely my fault. As the pilot, I should have realized a shapeshifter civilization wouldn't have a landing pad."
An idea suddenly struck me. "Aaron, you're a genius," I declared as my mind started running in circles.
"Not gonna deny that,"
Aaron chuckled, but her face betrayed her confusion.
"Though I don't see how me admitting to a mistake makes me a genius."
"Not the mistake part," I laughed lightly. "I meant you gave me an idea. It might be a little complicated."
"I'm willing to try anything at this point,"
the orange-haired pilot interjected.
"I can't have her forever. And there's no way I can safely land on the mountainside. So, if you have literally any ideas, let's try it."
"This shouldn't take too long," I insisted with a wave of my hand. "I just need you to hover here for a little while longer and unlock the door so I can slip out and get to the island."
"Griff, we're pretty high up,"
Aaron frowned. But then a look of realization crossed her elfin features.
"Wait. Are you about to do what I think you're going to do?"
"Most likely." I grinned at my girlfriend as I gave the door a sideward glance. "I'll be right back."
"Be safe,"
she advised me in a serious tone. But then her caution gave way to an adorably amused smile.
"Love you, Griff."
"Love you too," I winked at her. And then I made my way back out to the cabin.
"Griff, what's going on?"
Syra asked once I returned.
"Is everything all right?"
"Everything's fine," I assured the curly-haired summoner. "I forgot Aaron's never been here before, and we're having trouble figuring out where to land."
"The mountainside is not suitable for the airship,"
Freya realized with widened eyes.
"And it cannot pass through the cliff opening. How will we—"
"I think I have that figured out," I interjected. "Don't worry, we'll have a way to safely land. I'm going to go try something out, so just stay in your seats and keep the kids settled. I shouldn't be gone for too long."
"Do you need help?"
Syra wondered, and before I could answer, the dark-skinned summoner had already started to unbuckle her harness.
"If you want to, I'm not going to object to another summoner joining me," I replied,
and then I turned to Freya.
"Are you okay with staying here and keeping an eye on the children? With the two of us working at this, it shouldn't take too long."
"Of course,"
my shapeshifter wife nodded at me.
"I cannot imagine the babies will get too out of hand since they're strapped into place. You and Syra go and accomplish what must be done, and we will wait here patiently."
"Thanks, Freya." I smiled at the beautiful hawk shifter, and then I looked to Syra.
"You're going to need Kaelon for this."
"I'm sure she's itching to get a good stretch in,"
Syra replied, and her familiar poked its head out of her nest of thick midnight curls as if on cue. The tiny silver dragon let out a high-pitched coo, flew down to the ground, and awaited her mistress's command. The babies let out squeals of delight as they glimpsed the adorable monster, and the sound of it brought a smile to my face. I wanted to linger on the moment for a little while longer, but we had work to do, and I couldn't ask Aaron to keep us hovering in place for so long. She likely wouldn't take issue with it, but I didn't want to run the risk of a technical complication with the craft.
"Hey, Aaron! Can you open the door?" I called out to the mimic as loud as I could manage.
After a moment or two, she did just that, and the craft opened its back door to reveal a gust of cold wind.
"Let's do this,"
Syra declared. As my wife commanded Kaelon to stretch out into a larger form, I reached into my bandolier and retrieved an icy blue wing-shaped essence crystal and threw it to the ground. My Vinghund manifested in the airship, and the canine-like monster let out a yip of delight when I approached her.
"Hey, girl,"
I reached out and scratched her favorite spot behind her ears. "I'm gonna need you to take me down to the island." The Vinghund let out a small grunt as she stretched out her pale blue wings and bowed forward on her long legs. The monster tilted her head to the side, let out another bark, and then lowered herself down so I could mount her. Beside me, Syra had taken her place on Kaelon's back, and once we were both situated, we shared a brief smile, and our summons pumped their wings and carried us out of the airship.
"Be safe!"
Freya called out before the airship's door closed. A shiver ran down my spine as we left the warmth of the ship. My winter attire kept me from freezing completely, but the contrasting temperatures still made my skin break out in goosebumps. My Vinghund seemed to sense my discomfort and let out a chirp of concern, but I gave her an affectionate pat as we soared through the air. The mountain's peak loomed high above us, and I peered around for a decent access point. I needed somewhere easy to land that would allow Syra and me adequate enough space to do what we needed to do. There was really no large beach to speak of, only mountainside, so I definitely had my work cut out for me.
"What about there?"
Syra called out to me as she pointed to a small cliff just shy of the entrance to HawkClan.
"Take us down, girl," I commanded the Vinghund.
My summons let out another yip and then descended. The chilling breeze ripped at my face, and I wanted to laugh at my earlier thought of wanting fresh air. The Vinghund landed carefully on one of the jagged cliffs, and once we were on the ground, I scanned the area and tried to come up with a plan. Out of any of the ideas in my head, building a landing platform for Aaron seemed to be the most simple and semi-permanent one. Chief Enrir and the rest of HawkClan probably wouldn't be too pleased with my reconstruction of their island, but I would do my best to keep it as non-invasive and supplemental as possible. I studied the area below us and tried to decide the best way to proceed. I couldn't exactly plop a platform onto the water without issue, so I needed to find a way to either build off the island or send the water away so I could give the landing pad a base.
"So what's the plan?"
Syra wondered as she studied the uneven terrain around us. Her eyebrows furrowed when she peered over the cliff, and she bit down on her lower lip.
"I think our cement trolls would be of the most use," I replied to her. "They can create a smooth surface for Aaron to land on, and if we're both using them, it shouldn't take us too long to make a landing pad, My only concern is finding a place to build off. We can't exactly plop cement down on the ocean.
There's a small section of beach down there,
Syra pointed out to me.
It isn't much, but maybe it's a good enough starting point. It at least gives us some flat land to work off.
I followed the direction of her finger and noticed a small amount of beach just below us. It really wasn't much to work with, but my wife was correct. Flat land was going to be the most ideal for us to build off, and beggars couldn't be choosers. I just wish we had more sand or something, I murmured to myself, and then I turned to look at Syra. But you're right. Let's start there and see if there's anything. If anything, we might be able to knock out some of the trees with a couple of axe goblins. I just hope HawkClan will be okay with these renovations.
I guess that's something we're just going to have to worry about later, Syra sighed. I suppose we could have sent Freya ahead beforehand.
If we worked fast, it shouldn't be a problem, I decided. HawkClan and I had fought beside one another, and marrying the daughter of their chief had to come with at least a couple of perks. I had a feeling Chief Fenrir would be fine with it. But if it was really an issue, we could find another solution and destroy the landing pad later.
Then let's head down,
my curly-haired wife said. Collectively, we gave our monsters the command, and the Vinghund and Kaelon flew us down to the dark sand beach. The deep blue ocean crashed and seized around us, and I admired the swell of the waves as they touched the sand. While HawkClan's actual dwelling was carved and elaborately constructed, standing on the edge of the beach made me realize we really weren't in Mistral anymore. The southern continent was so different from my home, and had a wildness about it that was both rugged and beautiful. It reminded me of my childhood and adolescence spent in the wilds with Maelor, and brought me a familiar comfort.
Griff, Syra prompted me. Did you hear what I said?
No, sorry. I apologized as heat spread through my cheeks. I was zoning out a bit.
The ocean has that effect,
my wife smiled at me, and she gave the dark water an appreciative glance.
Anyways, I was asking where you wanted to start with this. Cement trolls, right?
Right, I confirmed. However many you have, bring them out. I'm going to send out a couple of axe goblins, too, and maybe something else. I have to think about what would be best in this scenario.
While you're thinking, I'll summon what I have,
Syra agreed with me. As she retrieved her crystals from her thick bandolier, I tapped my finger to my chin as I considered each of the monsters at my disposal. Who would be the most helpful monsters to pair with my cement trolls? I looked around at the sandy area around me and tried to think of a monster that could give us some more space to work with. And suddenly, I had an idea. I reached into the far corners of my mind until I came to Miralee's prison. Miralee, I addressed the Jaguar goddess. I'm going to need you and one of your monsters.
Of course, my master. How may I serve you?
I need you to summon your Hisine.
The Hisine?
The Arkin repeated back to me, and her voice pitched up an octave.
Not to question your plans, Griff, but that monster does best in a jungle climate, not a freezing tundra.
I'm in need of its sandstorm-creating abilities, I explained to the goddess. There's a decent amount here on this beach, but we could use some more to make a base for the landing pad. Is that something the Hisine could accomplish?
My creature is a manipulator of sand,
Miralee mused.
It is perhaps a little unorthodox, but it's not as if we've ever attempted to move sand beneath the water. Call me forward, my master, and let's see what we can do.
I reached into my consciousness and released the bindings that kept Miralee locked away. My hand tingled in the spot where her paw-shaped tattoo rested, and a stream of essence streamed off my skin. It swirled in a small tornado, and when it disappeared, the Jaguar goddess stood before me. Her beautifully unnerving orange eyes glowed brightly as they trailed over my body, and the only word I could use to describe her expression was hungry.
You look cold, master,
the Arkin assessed with a coy smile on her lips.
Shall I warm you up?
I'm wearing more clothing than you are, I pointed out. The cat-like goddess wore only a scant amount of strategically placed vines that left little to the imagination. Her taut golden skin and warm features glowed against the muted backdrop of the island, and I had to admit, she looked fucking sexy. I felt a stir in my lower half as I drank her delicious figure in, but I shoved away the sensation.
I'm warm-blooded,
Mira Lee purred, and she raised her chin up and peered at me with heavy-lidded eyes.
If you'd like, I can help you get some of yours pumping.
I just need the Hisane. I interrupted her before she could continue on any further. I'll let you know if I require anything else.
Okay,
Mira Lee shrugged. With a snap of her clawed fingers, the Arkan summoned her monster forward. The creature was like a walking sand sculpture of a jaguar, large with lightly outlined features and an impressively big tail. The creature had the ability to change itself into granules, create sandstorms, and equip itself with cacti as a defense.
What's the plan?
Syra wondered as she studied the Hisane with a scrutinizing gaze. I'm thinking the water imps can use their magic to help pull the water further back. And while it does that, the Hisane can use its sandstorm powers to help evenly distribute the newly exposed sand, I proposed to her. And I was fully aware the plan was a little strange. We'll need a way to drain the water out of the sand, but I'm thinking that once we have a larger space to work with, we can have the axe goblins chop down some of those trees and lay down some wood to make a base for the cement.
Melo would be proud,
Syra laughed, and she placed her hands on her hips.
You can take the boy out of the wilds, but you can't take the wilds out of the boy.
I figure I should be able to use all of those years of working construction to my advantage, I chuckled, and I scratched behind the Vinghun's ear. What do you think? Is it too out there?
That's definitely a little out there, but I think it's worth trying,
Syra replied in a thoughtful tone.
Let me know when you want me, master,
Mira Lee called out as she examined her pointy nails in a bored way.
The Hisane and I await your command.
Give me just a moment, I instructed the jaguar goddess, and it took all my restraint to keep my voice from sounding too annoyed. I needed to strengthen the relationships between Mira Lee and Utuni eventually, though I was still hesitant with them. The snake and cat goddesses were beautiful, but too often all they cared to mention was how much they wanted me to fuck them.
Yes, sir,
Mira Lee whispered as she gently nudged a pile of sand, and the Hisane wagged its thick sandy tail and turned its head in its mistress's direction as it awaited her orders. Without further ado, I reached into my bandolier and retrieved a few of my essence crystals. I summoned them in rapid succession, and when the familiar smoke cleared, I was surrounded by my cement trolls, box trolls, water imps, and axe goblins. The creatures were all smaller than the rest of my summons, and with the exception of my water imps, they were good for little more than construction, but I didn't need them for anything but that. Now that all of our creatures were summoned, we got straight to work. I commanded the water imps to help shift the tide away from the sand as much as they could. Mira Lee wasn't certain the Hisane was capable of what I had in mind, but I had to try anything I could to make it work. If our ventures proved unsuccessful, I could find a way to make the scant amount of beach work, but I really preferred the idea of a larger area for the landing pad's base. The water imps seemed to struggle a bit at first, but soon I noticed the shore was extending out as the tide was pushed back. I looked to Mira Lee's Hisane, and the sand jaguar gave me a blank expression. Granted, the creature didn't really have eyes or normal features, but I could sense the monster was confused. While the imps are holding the tide back, I need you to kick up some of this sand, I instructed the Arkan's summons. I just need it packed in and raised up so we have more of a beach to work with. The Hisane let out a sound of response, and with a flick of its head, the ground beneath us began to move. I'd never thought to manipulate the earth with the creature's magic, and I hoped this was going to work. With the water cast aside, we suddenly had a lot more sand to work with. I commanded the water imps to suck up whatever they could and redirect the water away from the surface. And when paired with the speed slug, the monsters were able to get the area dried pretty quickly. Then I commanded the Hisane to assist them with the endeavor, and concentrated sandstorm abilities in small areas to help shake out the water and whatever sea creatures had decided to linger within the tiny grains. Soon we were all set, and Syra and Dai commanded our axe goblins to go chop down some of the trees past the shoreline. As the goblins used their razored limbs to slash and hack at the thick trunks of the trees, I summoned a few box trolls to bring the wood over to the building site. The trolls got to work straight away, and soon we had an assembly line going. Within maybe 20 minutes or so, we had a long-rimmed base sturdy enough for the cement trolls to fill in, and Syra and I wasted no time in summoning the greedy monsters to the site. The cement trolls oozed out their gray goop and began to form bricks of the stuff. I commanded them to line the bricks up, and once rows began to form, the cement trolls smoothed out the top so they could make one smooth surface. It spanned a good amount of the beach, and while they were at it, I made a dock just off the side for boat access. Once the ship landed, Freya would likely have to fly into HawkClan to retrieve a vessel for us, but that was a future problem for us to deal with.
"Wow, I think this is actually gonna work,"
Syra proclaimed with a raised eyebrow, and she wiped the sweat from her forehead. "Is your mana doing all right?" I asked my wife. "Be completely honest with me."
"I'm okay,"
Syra assured me.
"Little tired, but this is nothing I can't handle."
"Let me know if that changes," I responded, and I reached out and gently grasped her shoulder. "I can't have you getting ill on me."
"Hey, I helped you take on the Quartzriel, remember?"
the curly-haired summoner reminded me.
"I'm not that feeble."
"Fair enough," I chuckled. After we took a moment of pause, we got right back after it, and before long, we had a roughly constructed but still decent landing pad large enough for Aaron's ship to touch down on. It was a little crude, but Aaron would have a safe place to park her ship, and we would be able to safely enter HawkClan's dwelling. "Thank you," I smiled at the Jaguar goddess. "The Hisane was very helpful."
"I am pleased to help,"
Mir Lee smiled back at me, and the Arkan twirled a strand of dark hair around her finger as she gave me her usual heavy-lidded stare.
"Should you need any more help, you know where to find me, master."
"Noted," I smirked, and with a wave of my will, I recalled the goddess back into my consciousness. My hand tingled as Mirli's mark returned to it, and the Hisane faded away with its mistress. Once the Arkan was back in my mind, I recalled the rest of my summons until only the Vinghund remained. Syra did the same with her creatures, and soon it was only the four of us on the beach.
"Not a bad creation,"
Syra noted with a raised eyebrow.
"It won't win awards for aesthetic design, but it suits the purpose."
"As long as it's functional, I don't mind its appearance," I laughed. "This should be good enough for Aaron to park on."
"Shall we head back then?"
Syra wondered as she looked up at the airship above us. "Let's go," I agreed with her. I remounted my Vinghund, and once Syra was atop Kaelon, we took back off into the air. I admired our handiwork as we soared, and I said a quick prayer that it would be big enough for the airship to safely land. Aaron opened the bay for us once we reached the craft, and I let out a sigh of relief as I felt the warm air touch my chilled skin.
"You have returned!"
Freya exclaimed as Syra and I stepped back into the cabin.
"I take it your mission was successful?"
"I would say so,"
Syra grinned at her best friend.
"And it was all because of Griff's brilliance."
"Thanks," I laughed. "But I can't take all of the credit. Aaron gave me the idea in the first place, and I wouldn't have executed it if it weren't for you."
"Griff and I constructed a dock and landing pad for the ship,"
Syra explained to Freya, and the blonde shapeshifter nodded her head thoughtfully as Syra launched into a quick retelling of what we'd done. "Freya, will HawkClan be okay with the addition of a landing pad?" I asked her, and I rubbed the back of my neck. I guess I should have asked you if it was okay first.
I don't think they'll mind,
the warrior princess shrugged.
They will have peace of mind knowing the airship that holds their grandchild was able to land safely.
That's good enough for me, I decided. Suddenly, the intercom crackled, and I heard Aaron's excited squeal ring out.
Fuck yeah, guys, that's perfect,
she exclaimed.
Everyone buckle up. I'm gonna land this thing and finally get us to Hawk Clan.
Syra commanded Kalon to shrink down, and once I stashed away the Vinghun's wing-shaped essence crystal, I reclaimed my seat and buckled my harness tightly around myself. As Aaron brought the airship down and the rest of us braced ourselves once more, I said a quick prayer to the Maker and hoped the structure was stable enough to hold the airship. My summons had yet to let me down, but I was still worried about my construction job. The babies started to fuss as we descended, and my wives and I gave them reassuring noises to help soothe them. Aaron managed to touch the airship down as gently as possible, and if the landing was any indication, the landing pad had come out perfectly. We waited a few minutes for the ship to settle, and once it stopped making as much noise, my wives and I unbuckled our harnesses and attended to the children.
Perhaps we should greet my parents and Vala without the children at first,
Freya proposed as she tugged on a strand of her dark blonde hair.
I don't think introducing them before we take a moment would be advisable. My parents are not fond of surprises, so I'd like for them to be in the best mood possible. They aren't expecting us?
Aaron asked as she entered the cabin, and a flash of panic swept across her features.
No.
Freya shook her head at the mimic.
There was no way to get a letter to them. We do not have that type of communication in Hawk Clan, so our visit is an unintentional surprise.
Your father did say he wanted us to return when we gave him grandchildren, I pointed out to the Hawk Princess. So they probably wouldn't be too surprised by our arrival, or with Lara.
I hope not,
my blonde wife sighed.
Take a deep breath, Freya,
Syra advised the warrior princess in a softened tone.
They're going to be thrilled to see us, remember? Yes,
Freya nodded decisively, and the best friends smiled at each other. Shall we? I gestured at the door, and after my women and I shared a nod, we headed to the door. When we exited the craft, I was surprised to see a boat waiting beside us on the dock next to the landing pad, and a smile broke across my face when I noticed my in-laws aboard the ship. The chief of Hawk Clan and his wife wore similar expressions of excitement, and they waved their hands enthusiastically in the air as we approached the dock. Chief Enrir was nearly 7 feet tall, with wild black hair, unkempt black eyebrows, and deep-set dark brown eyes. My father-in-law wore a thick dark cloak studded with feathers that only added to his air of strength, and a pair of roughly made brown leather boots covered his feet. The Hawk leader's face was normally as expressionless and stoic as Freya's, but he looked so thrilled to see his daughter after so long. I thought his smile would crack his face in half. Where Fenrir was intimidating and wild, Rhaetreia was elegant and beautiful. Her dark blonde hair and gold-flecked brown eyes were the same as Freya's, and the pair could have been twins if it weren't for the telltale lines of age in the corner of Rhaetreia's eyes. Her cloak was paler, but just as rustic-looking, and she had the corners wrapped around herself to keep her warm.
My daughter!
Freya's mother called out in the language of the clans.
Oh, my beautiful, beautiful daughter has returned to us. My love, I am so happy to see you.
My in-laws parked their boat at the dock, and once it was secured with ropes, Rhaetreia climbed out of the vessel and rushed toward my blonde wife. Once she reached our side, the older hawk woman wrapped Freya into an enormous and seemingly suffocating embrace, and as the moments passed, I watched Freya's entire body began to shake. She was crying. While Freya was generally stoic in demeanor, there was a tenderness between her and her mother that wasn't present in the Hawk Princess's other relationships. Freya had gone so long without Rhaetreia, and she'd blamed herself profusely for the woman's imprisonment in Skara, even though it hadn't been her fault. The guilt had weighed on the blonde shapeshifter's mind heavily for so many years, so every interaction Freya had with her mother was precious to her.
"Mother, I have missed you!"
The warrior princess sniffled as her mother stroked her hair affectionately.
"My beautiful Freya, you have returned to us,"
Rhaetreia sighed, and when she pulled out of the embrace, she cupped Freya's cheek in her hand.
"Your mistral husband said he would bring you home one day, but there was still a fear in our minds that we would never see you again. Mother, I would never leave you,"
Freya insisted as she leaned into Rhaetreia's touch.
"Not permanently. Griff is a man who is true to his word, and he assured me that we would unite once more."
Rhaetreia offered her daughter a smile that made the sun look pale in comparison, and then she dropped her fair hand and turned to face me.
"Griff of Mistral and Hawk Clan,"
the chief's wife addressed me,
"it is lovely to see you once more. Thank you for bringing my daughter back to us in your metal machine."
"Aircraft," I explained. "And it's lovely to see you as well. I'm sorry it's been so long since we visited Eerie Island last. And even more sorry we couldn't give any notice of our arrival. I don't mean to take advantage of your hospitality."
"Come here, my son,"
Rhaetreia waved me over.
"Don't worry about intruding on us. You're my daughter's beloved husband. You are always welcome here in Hawk Clan."
My mother-in-law wrapped me into an embrace, and like Freya, she had a sea salt scent about her that reminded me of an ocean storm. Her hug was incredibly maternal, and gave me an unexpected comfort. I liked Rhaetreia quite a bit. She was polite but warm and deeply devoted to her family. "Thank you, Rhaetreia," I said, and a smile broke out across my face.
"It is indeed wonderful to see you, Griff,"
Fenrir declared in a gruff voice as he joined us on the dock.
"Thank you for bringing back my beloved Freya. We have missed her quite dearly, and this was a very welcome surprise."
"Of course," I nodded at the tall shapeshifter. "I'm sorry for the, construction project. We didn't have a place to land our ship."
"Don't apologize."
Fenrir waved me off.
"That was resourceful thinking. And besides, this will make it easier for you to visit in the future. Will it not?"
"It will," I agreed with the Hawk Chief. "Thank you for your understanding."
"I see you have also brought friends with you,"
Rhaetreia noted as she looked beyond Freya and me.
"Please, come join us. Don't worry, we will not bite."
In all of the excitement, I hadn't noticed Aaron and Syra had hung back near the ship, and the pair of gorgeous mages wore similarly shy expressions. Rhaetreia had spoken in her native language, so there was no way my other lovers had a clue what she was saying, but they seemed to take context clues from her gestures. Syra and Aaron exchanged glances, and then began to move forward. And as they approached, the babies finally came into view. Aaron carried Milo and Oliver on each of her hips, while Syra held on to Lara, and the chief's wife broke into smile as she caught sight of the infants.
"And who are those lovely children?"
Rhaetreia asked in a soft voice. Freya gestured at Syra, and the curly-haired summoner gave the Hawk Princess a nod of understanding and brought Lara forward. Freya's mother tilted her head to the side as she peered out at her daughter specifically, and a look of realization crossed her features. Our daughter's hair and brilliant gold eyes were too particularly hawk to be a coincidence, and I watched Freya's mother look between us to compare our features. Chief Fenrir took a little longer to understand what was happening.
"Who is this little one?"
he asked in a curious tone as his eyes narrowed and studied my daughter's golden features.
"Freya?"
The Hawk Princess offered her father a warm smile.
"Mother, father, this is Lara,"
she introduced our daughter.
"Your granddaughter."